today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick. I think Dan wants us out of his house now.
That's right, Jim. It's Orville Peck time.
What a week this has been.
It's been fantastic.
Right?
Yes, it really has. Dan, thank you so much for your hospitality and also for doing all the work and guiding us through all these episodes.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
This was fun. I mean, and as always, I appreciate you guys indulging me because I'm never sure if it's stuff that anybody is interested outside of my own head. But
heck no, man.
Seems to be okay.
It sounds like you and Jane had an amazing trip to Nashville, though.
We did. I would love to make this an annual thing.
There you go.
A little cooler would be nice. I mean, I did. My parents.
It was unseasonably hot that week, though.
Yeah. My parents met at Vanderbilt.
No way, really.
So one day I made Jane walk from our Airbnb to Vanderbilt and the Parthenon, and it was longer than you would have wanted.
It's pretty far.
She was a very good sport. It was probably 3 miles really, really hot heat, but then we ended up getting some Hattie B's hot chicken.
Nice.
I don't know if you've been down there in your mini trips.
But yeah,
We did Uber back to the hotel after that. And then the Parthenon is under construction, so we got there, and I thought, oh my God, we're going to have to walk a mile around the back
to see it.
We had to walk like half a mile to get to see it, but it was nice to go to Vanderbilt, and I had driven past it.
It's a lovely campus.
To walk through campus. It's beautiful.
It really is. So. That's usually where we work when we go down there, so it's a nice place.
Yep. So anyway, next year, let's all go.
Sounds good to me.
I mean, the $75 and the airfare wasn't expensive.
That blows me away.
I mean, you could drive, but really, it was like the bargain of the year.
Yeah.
Drinking any time of the day is perfectly fine.
Sure.
I mean, people start drinking at those noontime shows and they're going all night long. Although not, it was a well-behaved crowd. You know, people get above a certain age and they're fine. So
I like that.
It was a sort of our people.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Whatever our people are.
Yeah.
But.
Not the bachelorette crowd.
Not the bachelorette crowd.
No,
I mean, not the hot tub bus going down Broadway. It's like, are you kidding?
With the beer tap.
Yeah. But I had no idea about the whole Broadway scene. But
it's
every time we had to cross it, it's like, don't go down Broadway. Let's get across it as fast as.
That's right.
But there's one venue on Broadway. It's like a boot, somebody's Western.
Robert's Western.
That was an official Americana venue. Uh-huh. And they actually, I guess it's a step above like all the other ones, because they all sort of are exactly the same. They blare the music out in the street, the country. I guess when you get a gig on Broadway in Nashville, maybe you're sort of on your way to doing something.
It's different than East Nashville, that's for sure. Roberts is the home of BR549. That's where they started in the mid-90s.
Another good example.
Yeah, literally was just a boot shop, and they sold whiskey and Budweiser in the evening when they played. So.
But it was sort of a shock.
Yeah.
I'd heard of it, but until we were there in person, I thought, wow, this is something else.
And nowadays, Opryland's a whole like Disneyland complex that's 20 miles away from downtown.
The last time I went to Nashville, I stayed at the Opryland Hotel, and it was like the Disney version. Yeah. It was a horrible thing.
There's a boat that goes through the middle of the hotel.
Yeah, there's like an amusement park in the hotel, too.
Right, but it's not the Mother Church, the Ryman, which is just at the top of Broadway there.
Yep. So we walked past the Ryman and went into the lobby, but did not get to see a show. So I would love to see show at the Ryman, and our Australian friends had tickets to see something at the Bluebird.
Oh yeah,
which we couldn't make. They went just to be able to go because it seats like 100 people tops. Maybe I don't even know who was playing there, but so next time that would be fun.
Yeah. Well, if you came all the way from overseas, you probably would want to go to the Ryman and the Bluebird if you could fit it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So again, thanks for having us over here.
Yeah,
and all week we've been talking about Americana music because of your adventures. It does sound wonderful. And if you were to go, Patrick, is it next year or is it the year after that you could see Major League Soccer in Nashville?
It will be next year.
There you go.
You can watch.
Are they building the stadium?
They are on the way to build a stadium, and they have a team coming into the MLS next year.
Yeah.
So it's the soccer starting in March.
All right. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all week has been
Dan Gursky.
We're
at Dan's house. Thank you for your hospitality. You have taken us through a lot of great Americana music, introduced us to a lot of stuff that we had not heard before. And then for this last edition, it's sort of a mix of things that you just, again, want to introduce people to, but maybe they didn't fit into some of the categories of the things we talked about earlier.
Or maybe a little bit unusual.
So Unusual is good.
We're not going to play anything, but one of the more fun events we went to was a tribute to the Carpenters at the Five Spot, which is this legendary East Nashville location. And it wasn't just the Carpenters, although it was primarily the Carpenters, but there was some Glen Campbell, there was some Jim Croce, there was the Monkees, there was Carole King, and it was hosted by Erin Ray, who's another person who's fabulous. We saw her perform on her own, and it's sort of the who's who of East Nashville. I mean, Lily Hyatt was there, Tristan, who we've talked about on previous podcasts, Vanessa Carlton. I was really looking forward to Vanessa Carlton. She was playing Carole King on Broadway for a short run, and she came back, and I think she was the one that was basically wearing pajamas when she showed up. And Jim, I don't know if you know this, but she's married to John McCauley, the lead singer of Deer Tick.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that.
So he played also, and just an amazing array. They played one song. There was Bubbles. It was sort of a Lawrence Welk-esque thing. And it was just
a really big show.
It was just really fun. Tiny, but they started with Erin Ray's father sang Tiny Bubbles to open the show.
Oh,
and
wow.
He sang Tiny Bubbles to end the show. So,
wow. Kind of like
interesting
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I was just telling you guys before we came on that the Rainbow Girls was one of our top two or three performers of the week. Had never, I'd heard of them from the podcast. I mean, not the podcast, the playlist. And I don't even know why, but it turned out there was a connection with UC Santa Barbara where I went to school. So
Like,
oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of a cool story. They started in this town called Isla Vista, which is sort of the student ghetto of UCSB.
Okay.
They had open mic nights every Monday at their apartment and people would just come by and play. And so the Rainbow Girls were sort of born out of open mic night from UCSB students. And the personnel has changed a little bit over the years. They're down to three now. And their show, and again, this is a band that you can't capture their performance on the album because they are so funny and super political and obscene and fun, you know, and just entertaining all at the same time. It's like a variety show, but three really talented women. They all play stringed instruments. They do like the shake the little eggs. They do voice stuff that sounds just like instruments.
Okay.
Just super versatile.
Very cool.
And I was just listening a little bit today. If you go back a few years, they do sort of some electric psychedelic stuff that's really kind of fascinating. Huh. But now they're a little more folky, and they have an album we're going to listen to. Their latest album is called Give the People What They Want, and it's all covers. We were just discussing the genesis of this song, Down Home Girl. Maybe we'll listen to it, and then we'll tell what we found when we come back from that.
Bit of tongue-in-cheek humor to that song too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think they're incapable of being serious. Seriously, I mean, and I was telling you guys, they play mostly on the West Coast. So if they show up anywhere in a town near you, definitely go see them because it's well worth whatever you have to pay for the entertainment value.
Their tagline here on Instagram is "A gang of sweet angels punching you in the heart." So I like that a lot. Beautiful. All right. So they got a covers album that's definitely on the list with some interesting stuff. Angel from Montgomery, Tennessee Waltz, Ruby, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. That'll be interesting.
Right. So we discovered that was something that the Stones covered from
Down Home Girl,
somebody
yes.
before that, uh-huh. right?
Written by some Brill Building folks.
Yeah.
Which is interesting
as so
well.
Way back, early Stones.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. Very well said. Third album, I think, or second album.
Yeah, when they were
like
mostly doing covers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are totally going to change direction now.
All right.
So I don't know, Patrick, if you ever went to the Acme Feed and Grain.
We did go
we
there.
Down there.
Yeah.
Cool.
On our
cool
USA
spot,
Today
huh?
trip, we did a little podcast from the little radio studio yeah. in the yeah. in the
I
in
mean,
the
you've
lobby.
Got the upstairs with the incredible yeah. view, the water views.
Yes.
So they had a bunch of shows down below. And I love how you have to order your food and then take it either up the stairs or up the elevator.
That's right.
To the top floor. Anyway, so we just stopped by there because nothing was happening. So we popped in and yeah. there was this woman named Martha Spencer. So we happened to be standing behind her before she came on stage. She had this incredible red, bright red frilly dress, bright red cowboy hat, bright red lipstick, eyelashes that were like 3 inches long. But you could tell, sort of like our friend Carl Anderson we talked about, like super nervous
right.
to be here. But when she got on stage, it was like she was a new person.
Really?
She just owned it. And she's like old-timey country music. But and she's from Southwest Virginia. So you know about Floyd and the Floyd Fest.
Sure.
So I think she's near Floyd and she mm-hmm. plays at the Floyd Country Store. But her accent was so strong mm-hmm. that we understood nothing she said when she spoke between
she's
the songs.
From Virginia.
She might as well have been speaking another language. It was amazing. We talked to her. Her bass player was this really funny guy that we talked for like half an hour before her performance.
Nice.
She came on. And then she danced. She came off the stage and did this traditional Virginia. I don't even know what kind of dance it was. I took a little video, but it was the most amazing thing. This
wow.
person, she just transformed into a different person on stage.
A little mountain clogging or
but
whatever it is.
Yeah,
they do
but she's
up there,
played
yeah.
at the Folklife Festival. She's played at the Kennedy Center. So she really is. I feel like she's a slice of Americana.
Right.
I mean, literally Americana, the history and yeah. the culture, not just the music.
Down there from the Clinch Mountains.
So she has one song that's really. Really, it doesn't capture it on the album like we were saying, but it's also called Ruby, not the Ruby we were talking about
right.
before, but it has a lot of whooping in it.
Okay.
So we won't listen to that, but we'll listen to something called My Heart Says Yes. She only has one solo album, came out in 2018, and this is actually a little less twangy countryer than okay. her other stuff, but she was just really kind of a fun discovery.
My heart says yes, my mind says no. My heart says I love you, my mind says let you go. For I'm a lost soul, traveling the lost highway. I see heartaches and woes in my future days. Clouds of rain, lonely way down, so I can't stay. You got the sweetest smile and the kindest eyes. It would break my heart to ever see him cry.
Fantastic.
And I should mention that I think she had 6 or 7 people in the band. Nobody was playing an electric instrument.
Is that
it was
right?
All
wow.
acoustic,
oh, nice.
Mandolin, fiddle, bass, guitar, just really, really good stuff.
Well, you can tell where she's coming from just by looking at the cover art for her album.
For sure.
It looks like something you would pick up at Ernest Tubb Record Shop, you know?
Yeah, it's, totally.
Looks like 1950s sort of country
record. Oh, man, in
person,
it was amazing. She was, you could tell from across the room, she's like the performer.
Yeah.
Nobody else, it looks like her at all.
That's always a cool feeling when you walk in a room of people and say, oh, yeah, that's the star of the show.
Right. I've never been to Floyd, but I heard it's kind of an amazing place.
Yeah.
Have either of you guys been there? Or
I have not. I've been to Bristol, and I've done a little bit of that trail down there, but there is a whole heritage trail, and there's Floyd with the country store, like you said.
It's far. I mean, it's in Virginia, but it's like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
At least, way down there on the border of Tennessee and Virginia and in the Blue Ridge / Clinch Mountains.
But the bass player was telling us about the shows at the Floyd Country Store, which sounds a little bit like the Acme Feed and Grain.
Kind of does.
It's sort of, they have food, they have live music, they have stuff for tourists because it's become a big tourist spot.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's worth a
everything but drive. The bachelorette parties. Now, you go on top of Acme, you can see where all the bachelorette parties are crawling around East Nashville. I mean, lower Nashville, lower Broadway.
There you go. So Martha was fun. She was just kind of a throwback.
Really like that.
Throwback
that
for cool. Sure.
I would love for listeners to, again, if you're, I guess whatever streaming service you use, we happen to use Spotify. She doesn't have a whole lot of listeners there on the Spotify. No. So this is cool that you have discovered her and hopefully brought her to a wider audience. Well, so everybody get on there and listen to her stuff, stream her stuff. Man. Get her some numbers.
And I should say, I don't have it with me. The bass player, he was just like the best guy. We enjoyed talking to him, and he was just a guest thing. And I think his band is called 5 Mile Mountain Band.
Okay.
He might have a few more followers too, but also just super traditional country. The guy wore overalls, denim overalls, and he said, this is what I wear every day.
Nice.
It's like, this is not just for performing, but with a country band, this is what I wear in life.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's great. So Martha Spencer.
Yeah.
Very check cool. her out. Yep.
Okay. So interestingly enough, the last two, I don't know why this is, but it'll give you guys a chance to talk about Grimey's Record Store.
Yep.
Both of these we saw in Grimey's. So have you been there, Jim?
I went there to the previous location. I haven't been at the current location they have now, but I will say that it's one of the greatest record stores I've ever experienced.
Without a doubt, it's one of the best record stores in America, hands down.
Easily.
Sure.
Did they have there's a mural of John Prine on the side now.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's new or not.
Yeah, that wasn't at the old place, but it's very cool. Yeah, you definitely recognize it when you're driving down that street.
So I'm going to go in reverse order of who had the most people. But this next guy, just fascinated with, Orville Peck.
Yes, sir.
Only the first thing you need to do is just see a picture of him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the guy wears a mask made out of yarn or something, different colors, sort of Lone Ranger-y, but with fringe on it, right?
Mm-hmm. So, a little more sinister looking than a Lone Ranger,
right. But also, it turns out, just a really funny guy. Mm-hmm. So he has now been unmasked. I don't know if you know, but
I didn't know that.
He is the drummer for a Canadian punk band.
Really?
And there was the reason people discovered it was because he wears sleeveless shirts, and they saw his tattoos, and so some astute
fans
saw his tattoos and said, those look like the same tattoos from this guy, from this Canadian. Kind of obscure, but he's done it, I thought, sort of as a joke, but his voice is great, his songwriting is good, and he's just, I mean, so he sings about, like, gay cowboys is kind of the theme. And
that's
very,
just the theme.
Very funny songs, and we only saw a few songs of him, but he packed. The record store was packed him. We were way in the way, way, way back. It was like we could just barely see Orville's head up there. So I think, and he only has one album called Pony 2019. Whether he's going to have any more albums, I don't know, because he's fairly popular, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he really made a splash when that album came out.
But I think we should, it's more than a mask. I mean, the guy has some talent to back up the quirky act. So I think we should play Turn to Hate.
It's got an awful bite. It's going to rise again. Keeping track of everything we lose. Another hole to mend. Tell me you can't stay. Don't leave.
Yeah,
I do too. Cool. I'm not sure how that fits in with Americana.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not really sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he has other ones.
Except
he has
for maybe one, cowboy themes.
Right. He has one called Queen of the Rodeo, which is about drag queens at the rodeo. And he had one that I don't think is on any album, but it's hilarious. It's about how really all cowboys are gay at heart because they spend all this time out among just with other men.
Yeah.
And it's like super insulting to cowboys, but just funny. I mean, it's sort of like Roy Orbison with a mask.
Yeah, you know? He's got that kind of deep sort of intonation.
Crooner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, who knows? 2 years from now, maybe he's a footnote of something.
Well, it's interesting that he's been unmasked. Kiss never made that mistake of having tattoos that could be identified. So I just want to say that.
Right.
They just unmasked themselves when the mask shtick
no one else
wore
was paying
off.
Attention.
Yeah. But I guess
got left.
I guess the question is really, is it serious or not? I mean, people are like, he's just making fun of country music, but it really, I don't think he is exactly.
No.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I came to his music totally through a different thing. I was just listening to Spotify one day and they recommended this song. I was like, this is really cool. I got that same sort of, you know, like Roy Orbison, spooky David Lynch kind of Twin Peaks kind of feel. Yes. I was like, this is really cool. I wonder what this is. And I didn't even think at first to put it together with that. So yeah, coming from Americana is interesting. And we also had the connection of Tiki Bar music when the guy sort of called in and was responding to some of the music we played at the Tiki Bar and is like, here's the real Tiki Bar music you play.
Right.
And it was loungy and kind of atmospheric and spooky, like the, you know, One-Eyed Jacks or something.
He played, I wanted to see him in one of the nighttime performances, but it just didn't work out. So it wasn't ideal. It was in the daytime in the back of a record store. He would definitely be good late at night.
Yeah, I would imagine.
In one of the bars.
Yeah.
I think it's
smoky atmosphere. Yeah. A lot of neon. Yeah. Five spot. He would be awesome in there.
Yeah.
So the last one, interestingly enough, we also saw at Grimey's. Now, I think we went to Grimey's to see Orville Peck.
Okay.
I had no idea that this was going to be on the list.
Yeah, and this is cool. We were talking about it a little bit.
Yeah, so this is Chris Stamey of the DBs, who you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with. I used to be a big fan.
Yeah.
I thought, well, what's he going to play now?
Right.
So we were there. This was the first show of the day. So we were, unlike in with Orville, we were in the back with Chris Stamey. We were like 5 feet away, and I was trying not to spill my coffee on the lovely record racks and stuff.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, he now has a project called New Songs for the 20th Century. So he wrote and arranged 26 songs. These are sort of jazz and standards, collaborations with lots of musicians, Branford Marsalis, Bill Frisell.
Mm.
And I think he has a book to go with it. So it's all sort of, and he's like, here's an amazing piece of technology. And he held up a song book,
you know? Wow.
So he's like, enough of modern stuff. And so he had with him, Millie McGuire is her name. I'm not familiar with her, but she sings on the album a couple of songs with him. So I think we should play out with, I think this is like just a beautiful song. So,
no, I mean, I think Chris Stamey is a really interesting figure, and I can definitely see him, you know, being, I wouldn't necessarily say a direct descendant of country music, but the things he has done throughout his career to sort of advance that kind of music, I think definitely gives him a place at the Americana table for sure. I mean, he played with Alex Chilton.
Yeah.
You know, he's worked at his own studio in North Carolina. And I know they're Beatlesque and DBs were kind of, you know, power pop influence, but I definitely feel like over time they worked in those influences.
They did. I would say somebody similar to that would be Nick Lowe.
Yes, exactly, Jim. That's a great example, right? Who's now found a home on Yep Rock, you know, this North Carolina label, right? Yeah. So that totally makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, your first thought of Nick Lowe is, you know, the pub rock
yes.
and the sort of power poppy kind of stuff and, you know, influenced by the British invasion, maybe, and all of that. Totally, but obviously, man. A guy, you know, had encyclopedic knowledge of music, yep. and then started to go off and really explore sort of that kind of American music, and got involved with the Carter family.
That's right.
Exactly. And this is really, this is barely American. I mean, a lot of this is jazz standards, but clearly he's just, and this, I don't know, it's probably 2 hours. It's like this incredibly long list of
pieces. This is amazing.
Pieces. So,
I had no idea just this like even existed.
It's like a little vanity project. Yeah, me either. It's like, I think I saw him back in the 80s and maybe.
Yeah, and no, like, exactly.
Forgot about him.
Yeah, I remember, so this album came out just, a few months ago, I think. And I remember reading about it, and then I kind of forgot about it. And so explain it to me again. The songs are original songs, or they're...
He wrote them all, but they sound...
Got it.
They sound like stuff that would have been like 1930s.
Right.
Really interesting.
Jazz, the kind of stuff that would have circulated through like sheet music, and people would have played on their home pianos and that kind of stuff.
The first song is kind of fun. It's all about Manhattan sites. It's kind of like a tourist guide to what you see in New York City.
But since
Millie McGuire sang, and he was thrown into service, he doesn't sing, I don't think, much on this album, but he had to sing a couple times because he only had her and one other guy playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's quite a good guitar player.
Very good.
All right, cool. So we'll play out with this. All right.
Excellent.
This has been a great week.
It's been fantastic.
So much music that I have not heard.
I know. It's fantastic. I'm counting up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 new things, albums I've added on my Spotify.
And if you guys haven't heard it, that's impressive. Because you guys know more music than anybody I know.
This is great.
So,
there was a lot here.
It's a success.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it when we do something like Van Halen Week, but I've heard all those songs before.
That's right. I didn't add any new playlists on my Van Halen Week. That's for sure.
No.
But I can't wait to see the connections where people are going to come back and say, oh, yeah, I love them. Or, I saw them play here and there. So please, folks, get in touch.
Yeah.
And, find us on suburbspod.com. Do all those things and let us know what your connections to these are. And maybe some of the ones you would pick would be just under Dan's.
Yeah, we're gonna have a Nashville meetup next year.
Oh,
and like I said, we could do 10 different ones, and it would be just as good a show, I think.
Yeah,
because there was just such a wealth of really great.
That's wonderful.
Great musicians.
Well, we might need Dan to plan if he saw all those acts in a week. It sounds like you guys
had a challenge.
Figured
out
pretty
well. It was a full time job deciding what to see.
Yeah, it sounds like you had it done pretty well.
It sounds like an amazing experience.
It really
does. Americana Fest, huh?
$75, man. Are you kidding me?
That's unbelievable.
I know.
And it's just cool spread out all over the city instead of one big hot stadium.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a couple stages. I mean, it was a little bit logistically, it was a problem because some of the venues were far away. Like East Nashville is not close to the downtown stuff. But
right.
Cool to be able to see. Nashville just has a lot of really cool spots.
Yeah.
And
I took
advantage of every one of them.
I spent $75 on one round of bourbon at the hotel in Louisville.
We've been to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and it's a similar thing because it's both an industry event and also for fans.
That's right.
And it's the same deal. You buy a pass, you get a wristband, you get into the shows, you have to wait in line, all of that kind of stuff. And it's at venues, some that are, sort of permanent music venues, some that are converted just for the festival, all of that. But I will say the nice thing about Austin is there are so many music venues in a compact geographical
six
space,
blocks,
right?
Area.
Can sort of like bar hop and do all of that. And then there's an occasional one where you go farther out. I remember we went to the Saxon Pub, I think it was.
It's amazing.
And that was a longer effort. There was a bigger effort. But a lot of them are pretty close together.
If it wasn't so hot, it would be easier also. But I did hear somebody say, who had been to South by Southwest, they said this is what South by Southwest was before it became too corporate.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's great to hear.
That's key to hear, yeah.
I think I would like this better.
So listen, watch, like I said, watch for Austin City Limits.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you the big name Americana people. Right. But that's kind of a good...
scratching the surface.
Wonderful
example too. Yeah. But anyway, thank you guys for
coming. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, absolutely. For doing all this prep. And
we got to see the new house.
Yeah, I love it.
If you need any furniture still moved, Patrick will help with that.
That's right. I know some people.
Or rooms painted.
Definitely painting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Dan's done most of that work, but I'd be happy to do a mural of some type.
You can see we have art, as you can see. Art is along the floors. There's not a single piece of art hanging. It's like to be hung possibly
in that spot.
Yeah. So that was supposed to happen today, but
Be interested in a wingtip slope mural here on this wall. It might be nice around dinner time to look up
and
see that.
You got some good space. So I'm taking proposals.
Okay. I'll put that together.
So last call out to the listeners,
hit us up.
Americana music suggestions, stuff we should hear. You can do that by emailing rock@suburbspod.com or finding us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. All of those at suburbspod or call, leave a message, put your voice out there for all to hear. 612-440-1984. Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks again, Dan Gursky. And we are going to hear Chris Stamey with Millie McGuire.
Yes.
Is that her name?
Mm-hmm. I'm yours. Now, honestly, I thought somebody else. This sounds like a song somebody else wrote. I mean, that's the brilliance
well, that's
of this
the
thing.
Idea.
It's like
that's
it's cool. a standard, but he wrote it. So.
That's wonderful. Okay. Yeah. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And one more.
I'm Dan Gursky also. Sorry, I thought it was covered already.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Did I ever tell you the reason I called? That night in September when the wind shook the walls. As the lightning struck, I said, I don't wanna die. And I knew right then you were the reason why I am yours. From the moment I rise, I am yours. Under threatening skies, I am yours. Now I realize I am yours. We exist in silence, there's no way to get through. Something's come between us, and I've lost touch with you. But I would give anything to be back again. There in the darkness where it all began, I am yours. From the moment I rise, I am yours. And I cannot disguise that I'm yours. Till the day that I die, I am yours. Spoke of future plans and the choices we made.
Like, we saw a couple where the people were decidedly not happy to be on the back of the hot tub truck.
I can imagine.
And at the dinner that we went to with the bachelorette dinner next to us, there was one woman who would have, she was like ready to die. She would have rather been anyplace else than at the dinner with the 12 girls that she was like dragged along because she was like number 12 and out of, you know, had 11 and needed a 12th
to make the rate.